And we're back here on Unusual Sources 93.3 CFMU FM. And you can find us at cfmu.ca, something to check out during our special fundraising period. Speaking of special, there is a special guest today. It's Lily Naaman, student involved here at McMaster and Hamilton with Independent Jewish Voices. So, Lily, thanks very much for coming on the program with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, there's a very impressive tour being organized by IJV. According to the Hamilton Instagram, it says, as part of a national tour organized by Independent Jewish Voices, Israeli conscientious objectors Tal Mitnick and Einat Gerlitz are coming to Hamilton. Join us for a conversation on Saturday, March 15th at Westdale United Church at 7 o'clock p.m. That is Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, March 15, Westdale United Church, 7 o'clock p.m. So these two conscientious objectors, I believe these are Israeli youth, have been interviewed a number of times on their tour. Montreal, for example, I've seen photographs. There's going to be an interview of those two in Toronto soon. We don't know a lot yet, though, about what is motivating or inspiring people locally to bring the tour to the community, in this case, Hamilton. You have been involved in the tour or this tour stop in Hamilton. I guess it's closer to you. Is it true your family is Israeli in origin? Is that right?
Yes, and I've spent some time there myself. I studied throughout all of grade 2 in Jerusalem and a few months at a time aside from that. So I've actually studied at school in Jerusalem myself at a Hebrew Arabic school.
Well, that is very interesting. I haven't spoken to a lot of people who grew up in Israel on this program. Some people, mostly Israeli authors. You must know, I imagine, people who have been conscripted into the IDF. Is that right?
Of course, all my schoolmates who I've kept in touch with, a lot of them, got drafted.
Yes, I imagine, especially pertinent situation right now. And that is a perspective that only a few people in Canada could offer us. There's a few things I could ask about, but one thing I know is that the two resistors, Tal and Einat, have been giving these interviews, and wonderful photographs of some of the interviews have been distributed. They also did a spot, an online spot before the tour, where they appeared for members of Independent Jewish Voices. I'm just wondering, did you ever see them in any of these appearances before the tour or during the tour?
I have, yeah, I was an organizing Zoom meeting with them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I heard about that meeting. So I guess you're at least somewhat familiar with them.
Yes, and I do have family friends who are part of the same organization as them, so we have people in common.
Okay. So this is something you have some knowledge of. So I guess you've been involved since the beginning parts of organizing this. So if I were to ask you, what would you say is the objective or maybe the overall goal of touring these conscientious objectors throughout Canada?
Well, I think there's many, but the main one I would say is to disrupt central narratives. You know, there's this huge narrative that everyone's seeing about Israeli soldiers and Israel as this kind of hegemonic system. And I think it's really important to see that there are people fighting back within that system and that it's a lot more complicated than what it seems at first glance. And although some people find it difficult to look at that nuance, I think it's very important in order to actually make meaningful change and make progress.
That actually makes a lot of sense. So it seems like you have some knowledge here. Is this your first IJV event, or how did you come to be involved? Is it because your family is involved with these conscientious objector organizations?
Yeah, so I grew up in a very, aware community in Israel. As I said, I went to a Hebrew Arabic school, which means that my schoolmates were both Palestinian and Arab Israelis and Jewish Israelis. So I was exposed to a lot more complicated narratives. And with the most recent war in Gaza, I really felt the need. I felt so debilitated, like I couldn't do anything. And so getting involved locally here in Canada was important to me, and so that's why I joined IJV.
That brings up a number of interesting issues. So you went to school with students that were Arab, Israeli, or Palestinian. Is that a common experience for Israeli youth?
Not at all. Not at all. It's a very unique school. It's called Hand in Hand. And yeah, it was very controversial at the time as well. But we actually had a Palestinian teacher and an Israeli teacher within the classroom. So we were getting bilingual teaching all of the time. And it really was with an effort to collaborate, to create collaboration. And I know that several people who I was in that school system with ended up objecting conscientiously, or otherwise avoiding the draft.
That makes sense. I mean, you would have been going to school with youth potentially where some of your friends, Israelis, would be drafted to be posted to fight against Arab and Palestinian kids that were not being, I imagine, drafted into the IDF.
Yes, yep.
Yeah, so you definitely had a different and more eye-opening, enlightening experience growing up. Now, you mentioned that your school was a particular kind of experience that was not common, and also that it created a higher proportion of youth that were conscientious objectors. It might not be representative of the entire situation across Israel, but has there been a rise in that kind of dissent?
So it's interesting that you ask because I actually, before this interview, had a chance to discuss with my mom, who grew up in Jerusalem and so has a lot more knowledge about all of this. And I asked her, you know, is this a recent thing? Is this because of the war? And especially because, you know, I'm just reaching the age where my friends are getting drafted. It's all a little bit more new to me. And she actually told me that there was this huge movement back in 1982 called Yesh Gvul, which means there is a limit or there is a border. And this was a movement for combat veterans to refuse to fight in the First Lebanon War. And since then, it's been a common practice. And it's a practice that the military has worked to dissuade, but continues to happen. And it's an important manifestation of dissent, and it, I think, fits into a larger narrative of resistance through refusal. Like, if you think of something that's more widely thought of, like striking in Canada, right? Yeah, and aside from that, the movement, the organization that these two conscientious objectors are part of, it started in 2015, and they've had hundreds of resistors every year since they've started, who they've been supporting. So while I think it's become more of an available narrative, perhaps in Canada and in, you know, with the war being in the news a lot more, but it's certainly not a new practice.
Right. Well, for those who are just tuning in, I'm speaking with Lily Naaman, and she's a student involved with Independent Jewish Voices and this upcoming tour that is happening Saturday, March 15 at Westdale United Church here in Hamilton at 7 o'clock p.m. with the Israeli conscientious objectors. And I guess I'm wondering, because this is somewhat more extensive than we might have believed initially, there are networks, there are manifestations of dissent in Israeli society that have been occurring for some time now. This tour in Canada, do you think it could potentially be helpful not just to Canadians to learn about the situation there, but also maybe to youth inside of Israel who are more disillusioned with the colonial project? And are you hoping maybe to provide examples of people who have stood up against that for a kind of a greater or broader awareness?
You know, I'm actually skeptical that this could make change, this tour specifically in Canada could make change within Israel. I think that the dynamics within Israel are very much opposed to conscientious objectors. And I think that the support within Canada can easily be flagged as some sort of, you know, amalgamous Palestinian solidarity, anti-Israel sentiment. And so I actually am skeptical that this could somehow promote conscientious objection within Israel.
Yes, it is perhaps something of a tall order or a stretch. It just piqued my curiosity because, of course, the people involved in the tour may have relationships to people inside Israel. It made me think of a related question as well about resisting conscription generally, I mean, when Israeli youth say no to joining the IDF, to being conscripted, to serving in Gaza, is that primarily a personal decision, you think, in terms of people morally objecting and not wanting to be part of it? Or is there an effort to impact the Israeli war effort in general?
I think that it would be naive, perhaps, to say that individuals who are dissenting have an effect on the war effort, but I think that it is a very public-facing movement. Something that I will say is that many people who disagree with what the military is doing find other ways to get out of service, like doctors or psychiatric notes. So the people who are choosing to object conscientiously, who are standing up in front of the military court and saying, "I refuse, and I agree to be imprisoned, or I will be imprisoned for my choice," these are people who want to make a statement, and they want to challenge the status quo in a very public-facing way.
Well, that's very inspiring, and it sounds like a great deal of bravery has to be involved. You have Israeli family, you have friends, you have experiences in Israel. So if somebody is saying no to this, if they're saying no to conscription, no to joining the IDF, if they're perhaps joining this conscientious objector organization, what can they be expected to experience, or what kind of pushback and backlash might occur in Israeli society for those who refuse?
I mean, there's huge pushback. There's alienation, there's stereotyping. You basically get marked as a pariah. The intentions behind not enlisting become very changed in what is discussed. You know, there's these kind of ideas of, oh, they're anti-nationalist traitors or something scary, right? It turns into this scary narrative. And their intentions are actually left behind often. And so it ends up that many people consider them selfish or cowardly, that maybe they don't want to serve for their own sakes. And this kind of idea that they're not fulfilling their duties to their country. Because being in the army is something that's it's respected. It really is. And advancing in the army is something honorable. And avoiding service for medical reasons is something that can be tolerated, but when you avoid service for moral reasons, it's like a slap in the face to society. It's like saying this whole system that everyone is playing a part in, I refuse to play a part in that.
Wow, so it's not a decision to be taken lightly then.
Not at all.
Right. So you managed to see, hear from Tal and Einat. Did they ever talk about maybe their decision process, their thought process in terms of what would happen if they served in the IDF? What would they be asked to do, and versus resisting and all the problems that would give? I guess they had to make a decision, right? Do you know anything about what went into their decision-making process?
You know, I don't know specifically about their decision-making process, but I do know that being in the army is a challenging thing. You know, it's a time commitment. It's around 2 to 3 years. And besides from that, you lose a lot of freedom. You don't have a lot of decision about what branch of the army you go into, what sort of job you'll be tasked with. And beyond that, you have very, very little control over what you do, because if your commander tells you to do something, you can be judged in court if you disobey. So there's an element, I think, of really demanding your own right to make your own decisions.
Well, you seem very well informed about the difficulties that might be faced in Israel and why it might be valuable to tour people. We know that actually a number of people have signed up in advance to attend this event on the 15th. There seems to be a good deal of interest in it. So when Canadians in this city listen to what the conscientious objectors have to say, what do you think are going to be some of the main takeaways from the tour? What are they going to learn that they had not known before, even if they had been part of the Palestine Solidarity Movement in the past?
You know, I think something that's really easy to think from Canada, from our perspectives, is to say, oh, I would never do that. I would never serve in an army or serve in the Israeli army or commit the actions that these soldiers are committing. And it's with from within Israeli society, there's a completely different narrative. It seems from a very young age, it's instilled in you that this is unavoidable, that this is what you have to do, that this is what you're going to do, that this is the way society works. And to actually push against that is something that is so unimaginable to us Canadians. You know, it's just completely being disillusioned with your country and thinking beyond what you've lived in your entire life, right? And I think that that's something that will come through when people go to this event. They'll really, I hope, understand and be able to maybe imagine the complexity that goes into these sorts of relationships.
It seems as if there's plenty of reasons for Jewish youth in Israel to not want to participate in the IDF and in a colonial project, and it may be increasingly reflected in Canada as well among Jewish youth. So, in terms of the upcoming event on the 15th, are you hoping to see more people get involved in IJV? Do you think students and youth in the Jewish community might find this to be their outlet? What do you want to see them joining or doing? After they go to this event, what do you hope to do after this tour?
I think absolutely if Jewish youth are looking to get involved and to make a difference from here, you know, it's hard to think about how we in Canada can make a difference abroad. I think it's a good opportunity for people to see what sort of change can be made locally. The other thing I will say is that I think it's a good opportunity for people to expand their views, to maybe challenge what they've thought before, or challenge these polarizing narratives of, you know, I think there are really narratives of kind of Israeli versus Palestinian, and I think it's very important to at least take away that that's more complicated and that cooperating can be across cultures, and I think that's very important.
Yes, as more and more people get involved in the Palestine Solidarity Movement or in independent Jewish voices, progressive organizations, and anti-war organizations, they'll be exposed to more and more perspectives from people who are getting involved in this. So I'm glad you've been able to take part in organizing this event. It looks to be very interesting, has already garnered interest and attendance, and is part of this great national tour that has put out very good material. So I want to thank you for your part in that, and thanks for being on the program with us today as well.
Thank you for having me.